You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And tonight, we are...
Hey queens, what's going on? It is Josh here. Welcome back to episode 42 of the Queendom Podcast, and we are heading back out on the cruise once again, this time to Bliss 2.0. We're going to chat to another par. We haven't done that for a while. That's been a hot minute. So Megan Lang is on the podcast this week. This was a really fun chat, really cool for me because it was in kind of my time zone, which was good fun, which is what we've got for the next 3 weeks, guys. We've got Megan Lang this week, and then we've got two Aussies next week, so stay tuned. But Megan and I talk all things lockdown, COVID, traveling during this time and everything like that. This is a really informative episode, I think, and I really, really thoroughly enjoyed talking to Megan. So here we go. You know what time it is, guys. It is time to get down.
I'm the queen of the castle. Get down, you dirty rascal. Get down.
Hey, queens, and welcome. Oh, wait, I forgot to ask. How do I pronounce? Are you Megan or are you Megan?
Megan. No, Megan.
Megan. Okay, cool. That was my first instinct, and I was like, no, I'm going to ask. And it's Lung, isn't it, for the...
Lung. I like to say it sounds like learning, but just without like the R, like learn.
Okay, we'll touch on that later. I'm not going to say it during the episode.
Okay, that's fine.
I need to learn before I do the intro, so we'll get there. All right. So Megan, all right, we got this. Let's do this. Hey, queens, and welcome back to the Queendom Podcast. I am joined by Megan from Bliss 2.0, the par out there. Hey, Megan, how are you going?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
I am really excited to have you here. We're throwing things back onto 2.0. And I'm going to start you off with an interesting one. For those of you that don't know Megan, she has pretty much lived nearly everywhere in the world. So out of your three-ish homes between Hong Kong, New York, and the UK, what's been your favorite place to live in?
Well, they all hold very different places in my heart. Hong Kong's obviously home. You know, like I grew up here. And I went to school in the UK and I went back last year. But I think like out of like adulthood, like I really found myself the most in New York. So all very different, you know, places to be. And I think I do tend to look at like grass is greener on the other side. So recently I've been thinking about going back to New York, even though when I left New York, I was like, I hate New York. I'm never coming back here. Same with the UK. It was like, oh, I like can't wait to go back to the UK. And then when I was in the UK, I was like, oh, it's so expensive living in the UK. This is really difficult. And now I'm back in Hong Kong and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, my parents have just left. So it's a very different feeling.
Yeah.
It's not really exactly like home anymore because yeah, they're not here. But I don't know. I think I love all of them equally. It's difficult to say which one I love the most.
There we go.
Just because they're all so different.
Yeah. All right, let's try an easy one. What's your favorite animal?
Favorite animal? I think like a turtle.
Oh, yes.
Love turtles.
I love that. During quarantine and lockdown, have you picked up any skills that you didn't have before?
Oh man, I've been so lazy. I've been really lazy. I think I've been really blessed with the fact that Hong Kong's been so open. Yeah. So it means that I can pretty much do anything that I want. So I started wake surfing. I know how to wake surf now.
Yes.
I'm not very good at it, but I can do it.
You could probably stand up for a little longer than I can, so you win.
Yeah, I can stand up. I haven't let go of the rope yet, but I'm going to get there at some point. It's also really expensive to do, so yeah. I'm waiting on that one. But yeah, I can get up. It's annoying because I went with my best friend who also has never wake surfed before, and she picked it up like no problem. I was like, of course you would. Of course you would.
All right. We are here to talk about the amazing thing that is theater. So how did you personally get into the performing arts? What was your kind of pathway to where you are now?
So when I was growing up, my best friend, when I was six, her mom had like a theater / art school, like an after school extracurricular activity center. And so I remember I just followed her to it and then just ended up in one of their shows. And I was like, all right, cool. And then another friend, her mom was a dancer. So she was in ballet class. And I was like, well, because Izzy's doing ballet, I want to do ballet too. So then I got into ballet, which was like, I think my first love. Like I really loved ballet.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I was like, I'm going to become a ballerina. Like I'm going to be in the Royal Ballet or ABT. And so yeah, that was like my main thing for the longest time. And then I just kind of segued into musical theater, I guess.
Yeah. That's awesome. Oh yeah, we just end up here. And by segueing, you did go to Guildford. So what was the experience like at Guildford and going through everything there? Because you did a fair few shows at Guildford as well. So what was it like, that experience over there?
Amazing. I mean, it was definitely a really hard 3 years. You know, I worked the entire time. So like Friday nights, I would go straight to work. Work Saturday, wake up at like 2 o'clock on a Sunday and then like do all my schoolwork and then go to class, you know. Because I did a year at Columbia College in Chicago, which is where Mallory Madka and Courtney Mack went. So that's how I know them. And I just remember thinking that, you know, like it was a great school, but I wanted a conservatory program. And that's exactly what I got at GSA. Because I could be in class for 12 hours a day if I wanted to, and I could be rehearsing for it. And, you know, I loved my year. It was such a great, we were such a great group. And that's how I know Courtney Bowman and Lauren Byrne. It's just, we all just so happened to be, you know.
It's all just a big bubble.
Yeah. It's crazy how small the world of six is. You know, I didn't know the show very well when Maya was in it. And then, and then my best friend, Lauren was one of my best friends at college, and she got cast in it. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I should pay more attention to this because, you know, I'm here to support you. And it was amazing. It was sick. So I loved GSA. I loved GSA. Yeah. I learned a lot. A lot of character building.
With your experience in the kind of living in the different areas in the world, how have the different theater and performing arts scenes kind of felt to you? Is there a difference between
huge? Hong Kong, there's pretty much not the market for it. So that's why I always intended to leave. Now that we have Disney, you know, like we get a lot of imported talent, and there is like an interest in it now, but it's still not like the West End or Broadway. Living in New York was so tough because there's a union there. And getting into the union is extremely difficult. So I used to be a bartender. So I would bartend until about 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd take the train to Midtown. I'd sign up on the non-equity sign up list, as you do, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And then I'd go home, sleep for like 3 hours, get up, get ready, go to Midtown again, and then wait around for hours to see if I would even be seen, and then go to work and do it all over again. And so that was a huge, huge grind. But you do, like, I think if you work hard enough at it, like you get to know like the casting directors, and you have to like prioritize what you want first, like what you want to go in for most. And when you make friends in it, then you know, you help each other out. And yeah, I don't know. It's difficult because I didn't have like the support group going to New York. Yeah. I went on my own. Like I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anybody in the theater industry. And my agent in the UK now was lovely enough to have introduced me to my UK, my agent in the US. So that was definitely like a leg up that I had. But in the UK, you know, everything is done through your agent. Like there's very rarely an open call. And I think it, yeah, I mean, I was auditioning in New York for 4 years and I didn't get anything. Like I got a couple TV shows, a couple commercials, but you know, I wasn't doing theater and that's where my heart lies.
Yeah.
And when I got to the UK, I got a job in 6 months and I was like, oh my God, thank God. Like, you know, I was starting to think like, okay, this is maybe not working out for me. Maybe this is not for me. Maybe this is not what I'm, you know. And so when I got a job, I was like, finally, okay, somebody, somebody believes in me. Somebody like thinks I can do this. So yeah, you know, it was a huge test of confidence and yeah. self-esteem, but you know, I got there. And that was awesome.
I love
but very, very different.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So obviously was your intro to Six, was that through Lauren and that type of thing? How did you find out about Six?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I watched the West End live when it first came out. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little iffy on it. But then like actually when I, so mostly when I fell in love with it was when I was auditioning for it, because it meant that I got to like sit with the script and like sit with the songs and like look at the lyrics. And I was like, oh my God, these are genius.
Yeah.
This is actually so witty. Like you just, of course, Toby and Lucy went to Cambridge because like you have to be so smart to write this. Like this is actually just so intelligent.
Yeah.
Like her story or like his story. I'm like, okay, like, you know, these are just punny, but also just really smart, like really smart. Like I had to really appreciate it. And, you know, the music was always great. And I just like, you know, the fact that I had to like learn about the show when I was auditioning for it. And it was just like, you know, every step of the way, I would just appreciate it more and more and more. I'd be like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. And like, even now, like I'm showing friends who aren't into musical theater and I show them the songs. They're like, oh my God, like this is a bop. I would listen to this. And like, yeah. You know, I find them humming it under their breath. And I'm like, oh.
It's the perfect like intro song to musical theater, I think. It's the perfect like,
no, 100%.
Introduction show. It's like pop yeah. meets musical theater. And it's like, we got you now. Like,
yeah, you know, like you have the theater kids and they're like, oh, they're so stagey. Like, oh, this is a stagey song. Like the yeah. big vibratos. I'm like, ah. But like, you know, yeah, Six is like that really sweet spot of being current and poppy. And, you know, it takes all these influences from relevant, you know, big names in the music industry. So people can, you know, like think relax. About those while they listen to the yeah. music. And yeah, they can relate. That's the word I was looking for.
I was like, she's lost. Here we go.
what's the word? Where am I going? How can I segue out of this?
So talk me through your audition process. What was it like for you and going through the process?
Oh, it was so long. It was so long. So I had originally gone in for the last alternate track on the Six tour, the UK tour. And I remember there were only 12 of us to start. Like, I think this was like last minute. It was supposed to start in 2 weeks. Like yeah. super last minute audition. And they had me prepare for Boleyn, Seymour, and Howard. And so by the time we'd gotten through the dance round, they'd cut half of us. So there were only 6 of us left and we did the audition in front of everybody. So each person would do like, okay, we're gonna do Boleyn first. So everybody who's doing Boleyn, like get up one by one and do it in front of everybody else.
Yeah.
It was pretty intense, but actually it felt more like a workshop. So I felt like a lot of the, you know, audition nerves were kind of cut down and all of the girls were so supportive of each other. And it was more of like a feedback session. So like if they said like, oh, can you try this? And you would add that to like your performance. And
yeah,
so that was really good. And then actually in that audition, it was like in the last 20 minutes, you're like, oh, can you just go out and go out and learn par for 20 minutes and just come back in and do the song. And I was like, what? I beg your pardon.
In 20 minutes. Yeah, just learn a track.
In 20 minutes. Just learn it. Just go listen to the soundtrack. You'll be fine. So I did that. And then, you know, they were like, oh, listen, if you don't hear from us, or like, if you'll hear from us either way, which never happens in musical theater, by the way. So they're like, if you don't get it though, you know, just know like, it's not you, like we think you're great, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whatever, I got this in the bag. Didn't get it, obviously. And then they brought me back a few months later for Howard on the West End. And I was like, great, that went well. I'm happy with that. Didn't get that. And then like the same weekend, they're like, oh, but actually, we kind of need an alternate for the cruise. Could you do that? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, I just got to London. I don't really want to like leave for 7 months. Just cause I was on a visa as well. So there was like a time, like a ticking time clock. And then I was like, you know what? Screw it. Like, this is, sorry, my wife's, I have to say that.
Yeah,
I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm gonna go for it. And I was like, listen, I'm gonna take the job. And they're like, oh, well, they haven't actually officially offered it to you. They were just interested. But actually, they've asked if you're interested in Catherine Parr. Could you tape for it? And then I was taping for it, but I was sick, and they could tell that I was sick in my tape. And then they were like, okay, could you come in the next day? I was like, well, I'm still sick, but sure. And so then I had a private audition, basically. And, you know, I was beating myself up about it, because I was like, I still sounded sick, you know, like this was not the, you know, they're like pulling out all the stops for me, you know, if I don't get this, you know, what, ugh, God, that's, you know, a mess up on my part. But anyway, I got the job. So there we go. Long-winded route of getting to.
Incredible. So during the audition process, learning, what was that, 4 different tracks?
Yeah.
Did you feel most comfortable with originally, like before obviously settling? Oh, man,
I love them all so much. I think Howard was my favorite to do, just because it's so raw. There's so much space for like this awful emotion, but I can also imagine that just being so exhausting to do every night. Because you just, I remember in the audition, like, and singing the song, like, you can feel it on your skin. Like, you're just like, oh, these men, they're disgusting. Like, you know, you can feel it. And I don't know if I could actually handle doing that. Like, every time we did a show. But I do love her character. And I love Belen's character. I love, like, their witty banter that they have together. But also, I love I Don't Need Your Love. The fact that I get this beautiful a cappella, jazzy beginning. And then I get to go into this powerhouse, belty, you know, own riff kind of thing with all my girls surrounding me. And I'm like, oh, this is like a pop star moment. It's so much fun. And you know, I think like I can relate a lot to Parr. You know, like especially leaving for a cruise contract, like you're leaving your home for 6 months or 7 months. You're leaving your friends behind, like you're leaving your boyfriend behind. So it was like all this stuff, you know, but it was like, I know that this is my passion. This is what I want to do. But it's still like that tie, you know, like it felt like the cruise job was Thomas and like, or it was Henry. And then Thomas was like, you know, my comfort at home and like, you know, but yeah, I mean, that's how I was working it. So
I love that. That's great. Deep insight here, guys. This is how.
But like a lovely, like an amazing Henry that I'm like so lucky to have, and like I'm so happy to.
if the story was flipped.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, what was it like? Then getting that call, being like, "Okay, look, Kathy Parr, on the cruise. You got it."
Insane. I mean, I can't tell you enough, like, that I auditioned for 4 years and I didn't get anything. Mm-hmm. And I was ready to be like, listen, if I don't get anything by the end of this year, this is it for me. Like, I'm done. Like, you know, I have to move on with my life. And so when I got that, I was like, oh, thank God. And also I was coming to my wit's end at my like day job. And so, like, when my agent called me, I was like, oh, my God, thank you.
When do I leave?
Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, sign me up. And then I was like, I just dedicated the next, I think I got like a 2 months head start. So I was like, okay, I'm going to work out. I'm going to get ready for this and like go like as prepared as possible. And
yeah,
it was just like something to work towards, you know, like something solid to work towards.
Yeah. I love that. Nice. So getting into the room and meeting your cast for the first time, had you met anyone or worked with anyone previously?
No, so I hadn't met any of them. They had all met each other at a costume fitting in London, but I couldn't make it to that costume fitting because I was in New York. So I did my own like measurements and stuff in New York. They were really, really lovely to accommodate me with that. So I hadn't met any of them. And they had all kind of met each other through the audition process anyway, but I wasn't in that audition process. Yeah. So the first time I met anybody was when I got into Tampa at like 11 o'clock at night, finally got home. I was the last girl to arrive with Franny, our director. And then I met Cara first, who's our rehearsal swing, and I fell in love with her. She was my roommate. And then I met all the girls the next day, like right as we were getting the bus to go to rehearsal. So yeah, it was like, oh, meeting everybody for the first time. But we'd also had like a very active WhatsApp group beforehand. Because I got a message from Pearson Casting on Instagram saying like, oh, the girls are trying to connect with you. So that was awesome. So I started talking to them there and we were like, oh, we were coordinating what we were packing and yeah.
That's so cute. So
it was adorable.
Getting into the rehearsal room for the first time and kind of going over that first read through and getting the vibe of everybody, what was that like in that room with the 10 of you and all the creative team there?
The creative team that we had was amazing. Like obviously we had Franny and Fran, but then like the US team, we had Stacey Walker, who's like, she's like the cool mom. Like, you know, she's worked on like the Michael Jackson tour. And so she's like very commercial and like, she's got really great insight to characters. And then we had Kelly Hoagland, who's she just got cast in Mean Girls on Broadway. And she's just like insanely talented, like so, so talented. And we had Ellie, our MD, and she's just like so knowledgeable about like vocal placement and like, you know, she just helped. They all just were so amazing and so helpful because we had 3 weeks to put the show together, which is, I think, a week shorter than what the normal contract is. So it was like we were on hyper speed and, you know, you had to get things done like really quickly and you just had to, that meant like you had to have really good communication. You had to be really open about what you were struggling with and like, you know, what you could do. So the team was just like incredible. And then the girls, of course, are like insane. Because I think you have to be like on top of your stuff when you have that short of a rehearsal period. And then like this show requires so much talent as it is. Like, I don't think it's a show that anybody could do. Like, you have to be so well-rounded. Like, you have to be able to move, you have to be able to sing, you have to be able to act. And so just to be in a room with like 10 girls who are just stupid talented, like, oh my God, this is amazing. And also the fact that it's a cast of all girls.
Yeah.
We had no boys in the room, you know? And so that's just like, so cool. Like, so cool. You know, and we had like all this like women empowerment and yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So like going into the room for the first time, like being on the bus for the first time, like that was our spot to, you know, like chat shit and
yeah,
you know, have fun. So that was like nice for the first morning and yeah. Awesome. It was awesome. Like, it's like a really refreshing feeling and like the room as well. Like, oh God. Okay. Sorry. I'm like going on a tangent now, but like when you walk in and like the stage is set up, so cool. So cool. Yeah.
Like, and that's another like, thing. Like, you don't get that type of thing. Cause the show is set so small. Usual.
Yeah.
You don't get to see that whole thing until you're in the theater ready for tech. Like the fact that like, you get built stairs and everything. It's like, cool, we actually get to work with exactly what we're going to work with. Great. This is great.
Yeah.
So with the 3 weeks to get into pilots, let's delve into you finding yourself in Kathy and how you went about that in the kind of really quick time period.
I really struggled. Well, the thing about the rehearsal process and being par is that you go last. So you're kind of waiting for this workshop for like 2 weeks. And those 2 weeks feel really long. So you're kind of just like waiting, you're watching everybody else do it. And you kind of get like these ideas of like, oh, well, how's mine going to go? And, you know, am I going to perform the way that I want to? Cause I was nervous for it. Cause like the spotlight's kind of on you. And then you kind of just like, you have an opportunity to kind of like, want to like map out how it's going to go. So yeah, I think I really struggled with that also because her text is very confusing. Like she's not like the other queens, you know, she's not like, she doesn't speak out a lot.
She's very,
and
like,
she has it like, she has the
chill until she kind of explodes and then like, it's like, okay, let's go.
And she's, and also just the fact that she has to go against like the other queens and what they're thinking. And then like also kind of the inception that is like, oh, we've already planned this. Like, oh, this is what we were planning the whole time. So it's also finding that switch in the show. It's like, okay, when does she actually just have enough of this? And she's like, okay, this is not right. And we need to stop what we're doing. That was really hard for me to like also kind of like come to terms with. And then also I think I fell into this like, oh, woe is me kind of mindset when it came to Thomas. And Franny definitely didn't want me to go down that route of like kind of giving in to like, you know, being upset about it because she is a strong woman. She's got a lot of character. She's got a lot of will. She knows what she has to do and she's not going to like really cry about it. It's kind of like this idea of like, okay, it sucks, but you got to do what you got to do. And so there's no point in wallowing in it. And I started to wobble a little bit. So it was like, I think actually when I really got into it, because I had the time when I was on the ship to like really talk to Franny about it and like how I was struggling with it. Also because like, I'm not the most confident actor. I think like singing and dancing is my forte and acting comes like a very sore third. So I really, like, I have a lot of trouble like looking at text and like, I think I have like good intuition and like, you know, first like looks, but then when I actually get into like, okay, how am I gonna do this and getting into the nitty gritty stuff, I struggle with it. So I had a really nice talk with her when we were on the ship for the 2 beautiful weeks. And then, and I think it really changed a lot. Like, I think it really helped my performance. I think it evolved really quickly, but.
That's cool. So besides the acting side of things, what was the hardest thing to learn as part? Was it like whether a section of choreography or lyrics or something like that? Like what was that hardest thing to click together?
So I wouldn't say really like lyrics or harmonies or dance sets, but it was like the stamina. Like when I looked at the show, I was like, sure, like they're moving around a lot. Like, but oh my God, this show is a beast. It's so hard. Like you don't realize that you're on stage for 75 minutes straight and you only leave the stage for about 10 seconds twice. So you run off, you like dab your face, and I sweat a lot. You dab your face, you gulp down some water, and then you probably have something else to do, like putting on a ruff. And my ruff was notorious for falling off because I had this amazing hairpiece that was just like long and wavy. So it would always get stuck in the Velcro, which meant that it would fall off halfway through Holbein. And, but it was a stamina for sure. Like the first time we did like a run through of half of the show, we were out of breath. Like I was like, how am I going to do this? I'm so out of shape. And I didn't even know I was this out of shape. And so then we got this talk about, you know, you guys have to get your stamina up. So I think all of us were like hitting the gym on the treadmill, doing jumping jacks and singing the songs, trying to get like our breath placement. But I think that was also really good because we could see that you couldn't go full throttle the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think that's like when you're excited and nervous, you just go full throttle the whole time. And like, yeah. You know, and then you realize at the end that you're dying and that you can't do that. So finding the nuances and the dynamics in the show. Yeah, I think that was definitely the hardest part.
That's a really cool.
That was a tough lesson to learn.
That's sick. I like that. So what was it like seeing your costume for the first time, seeing the blue come together and getting to pop it all together?
Magical. I mean, there are pieces of art that in the detail that goes into them mm-hmm. is crazy. Because I've done theater, you know, where costumes are just, you know, a dress or, you know, a pair of heels. Like, they're nothing crazy, but these are like intricate, handmade, you know, and they don't have to fit into any particular time period. They take from the Tudor style and then they like move it into modern day. And it's, oh my gosh, it's crazy. Like the handiwork that they have to do. And I mean, I remember talking to the designers and just being like, oh, we're so stressed because there's so much to do. And, you know, down to the very last minute, they were rhinestoning our Leduca shoes.
Yeah.
And, you know, refastening buttons that would fall off every night, you know, like just even the maintenance of these costumes is insane. And yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I remember I just tried on like the bare bones at first, which was like a blue, like thick felt kind of material. And it was just like, they would build off of that. And then going back a few weeks later and seeing it just so much further along, like the sleeves were still unattached, but you're like, oh my God, it's on. Like having this heavy duty zipper, like just sucking you in. And it was really cool. I was so excited about the shoes. The shoes were like, because I'm a huge Leduca girl. And so when I found out we were getting Leduca shoes, I was like, get out of here. This is amazing. These are my shoes. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, I was already planning to steal them. I was like, listen, we got 6 months left of our contract, but I'm taking these shoes home with me. You better believe it. Like, I'm never going to part from these shoes. I'm going to be that girl that wears those shoes into dance class so I can be like, yeah, I was in sex.
Oh, sorry. These are my only pair of Leducas and I'm just like, gotta.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. These are like my only pair of dance shoes that I have. And, you know, like I needed to wear them to the class so all of you could know that I was in sex. You know, there are those girls though, right? Like there 100%. Are those girls like, that wear like their Leduca dance shoes in from a show, like their custom shoes.
Well, they've got like all the
like I get to be one of those gear. Girls like, now.
Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, while I was in class, I'd be like, I hate these girls, but now I get to be one of them. Yes,
this is me. So rehearsals wrap up, and you guys have kind of mm-hmm. got things pieced together. What was it like that final rehearsal before transferring onto the ship? What was that kind of like? Okay, now this is happening.
It was like electric. Because so at Norwegian, you do open rehearsals towards the end. Mm-hmm. So you have all the other casts that are rehearsing in the building come and watch you. And then you also do a rehearsal for like all of the creatives and all of like the upper senior people at the company, and they do kind of like a check, like a quality check.
Yeah.
And so you normally do it like in full dress, but our costumes weren't even ready until we got on the ship actually. And so we did it like in full hair and makeup and then shoes. And I mean, I think we were just so nervous because we knew we had less time than everybody else, and we were just learning it like on the seat of our, like we were flying by the seat of our pants, you know, like we had no opportunity to like really get comfortable. So it was just like, you know, your mind is working like this, like nonstop running on a So yeah, and I think all of us were just like running on nervous energy as well, because one, it's kind of like a test. It feels like a test.
Yeah.
Second, it's the first time like we're performing to anybody outside of the room. So we're kind of leaving our safe space. And we were really nervous to do it in front of the other casts, because we felt like we weren't really ready. But like by the time I got around to it, I was kind of like, okay, let's just do it. And then we found out half an hour before that we wouldn't be performing it to anybody else because they were limiting contact with other people because of COVID. But I mean, I just like remember listening to people saying like, oh, we were like sitting outside the room and like listening to you guys, like you sounded awesome. And yeah, so cute.
I love it.
But yeah, it was like electric. It was great.
Yeah. So now we're going to go into that hurdy place and talk about ship life. So what was it like for the 2 weeks that you're on the ship? What was it like kind of is let's put it this way, is cruising your type of thing? Would you do it again?
So this is the first time I've ever been on a cruise ship. It was awesome. I can't advocate for it enough. Like, it was awesome. I mean, so the thing is, we were all supposed to get officer cabins is one thing. And so my, on the rotation, because there weren't enough rooms for all of us, I was in an officer cabin. The officer cabin was the biggest room I've ever lived in. Like, no doubt. I had a full double bed. I had like a window banquette seating with like a porthole. So I'd like look out into the water and read my book. And I had a pull-out couch that turned into a double bed, a TV, a desk, my own shower, toilet, like... It was awesome. It was so sick. It was really great. Like, you think of like being a like crew on a ship, you're like, okay, like it's gonna be cramped quarters. No way. It's not my experience.
You are the only person that I've spoken to that has been on a ship that has had that experience. So.
I mean, listen, I was only on there for 2 weeks and only one of them I was really working. So I didn't even have time to get tired of it. Like, even the food, I mean, I have a pretty low bar for food. So I was like, okay, this is fine. Like, mess hall was fine, but we normally got to eat upstairs at like the passenger buffet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the food was so much better up there. And yeah, I mean, people were so nice. Like, I met so many people so quickly. Obviously, we were on board with Jersey Boys and we loved them. Yeah. And then the last week, if I can be honest with you, I mean, we were just partying every night because we had no passengers, full run of the ship.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was this kind of stress about, you know, where were we going to dock? Like, what port was going to let us in? There were all these rumors about food shortages, and then obviously like the worry about like the virus, and I had this extra stress of like I wasn't going to go back to London because I had nowhere to go, and I knew I wasn't going to get any benefits, and you know, I call them muggle jobs, but like I knew like those were on a shortage.
Yeah.
So what was I going to do? And so then I ended up in the US without health insurance during a global pandemic. Doesn't work out great. And so then I just like kind of bounced around until I got back to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But that was very stressful, you know, like, because you're on a ship and you're like, well, I don't really know when. And we were given like 2 hours to pack.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like 2 hours notice to pack. And some girls had like, I mean, I didn't unpack really because it was just as easy to like have my stuff laid out. I'm like meticulous when it comes to packing. So everything is folded and like laid out so I can see it. Like I'm a Marie Kondo my suitcase. So it was easier for me that way. So I really had nothing to pack and I was really lucky with that. But yeah, girls had to pack up like their entire rooms that they just decorated. Like people that had been on the ship for longer, like yeah, the Jersey Boys cast, they had to pack up everything, get rid of everything. So that was definitely tough. And it was like, you know, we had to say goodbye to everybody like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But all things considered, I loved it. I would go back in a heartbeat. Yeah.
There we go.
I think by the time I left, I was like, I'm going to cruise for 2 years and like, you know, save up enough to buy a house. And yeah, I could see myself doing that really easily.
Yeah.
I loved it.
There we go.
Yeah.
So what has been the biggest thing that
6 as a show has taught you as either a performer or a person?
I think camaraderie. Like all of the girls were really close. And if you think about the fact that we've only known each other for a few months and that I haven't seen them in about 5 months now, you know, we physically only spent 5 weeks together. But man, you know, we talked about everything. We talk about family, we talk about boys, we talk about, you know, health and, you know, everything that we're struggling with in the show. You know, like, I think in a rehearsal process, you're always going to have insecurities. And like, there was a point where all of us were burning out. And, you know, it's just like being there for everybody and like, you know, being there to like knock people out of their crazy mindsets where they're like, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm like, shut up, you're amazing. Like, you're actually amazing. So can you stop? And yeah, it was, yeah, I think that's definitely like the thing I've learned most, because the last time I did a musical, I was in university and I'd known these people already for 2 years before we started doing shows. And, you know, at that point, like, you've already established like friendships and like enemies, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though like my year was like really close as well. But yeah, like, I think like these are going to be friends I'm going to have for a lifetime. And, you know, I can talk to them about anything and call them whenever I want, which is, you know, it's amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So looking at the show, what is your favorite part in the show? What's your favorite part to either perform in or see someone perform or be a part of, whatever it is?
I love Cleves. I actually love Cleves. Scarlett is hilarious. And like, it's so much better because I don't even think that she means to be. Yeah, I actually have to stop myself from like cracking up on stage when I'm watching her, because I just think it's so funny. Like, I think she's so funny. Also, I love Get Down. Like, I love the dancing in Get Down, because it's just like so like, I don't know how to like describe it, but like, you're so like grounded and like, you know, it's kind of like swaggy and like you get to do like the fanning paper at her or like, you know, money at her. Yeah, it's just cool. Like, I love that. But other than that, I think I really love doing the I Don't Need Your Love riff at the end, because that was something that I had to like work towards, and I think it paid off, and I really like my individual riff.
I want to hear, I would love to hear everyone, just all the Pars riffs, like just side by side, just to hear like the differences.
It'd be really cool. I know. Oh, me too, honestly. Like, if you can put that together.
Hey, I want to listen to everybody else's. I tagged you guys all in a story and no one replied to me. So I did try to get it to work once.
Really?
Yeah. We're calling you out.
I didn't see that. I've been very busy. I'm sorry. I must have missed it by accident. But do it again. I'll do it this time.
All right, we'll pull it back.
And because, you know, like, we're not allowed to do Azuka's riff.
Yeah.
Also, I couldn't even do Azuka's riff if I wanted to. That, like, I don't know I listen to how that, she I'm hits like, that top note.
Is that like two voices or is it like, where?
I don't know how she hits the top note. It's actually so difficult. Like, I don't think it's in my register ever. It's so difficult. Because when I listened to it, I was like, oh, yeah, I could do that. And I did it and I was like,
What's
so hard.
What's written? Is her note written or is it?
No, it's not even.
Okay.
It's not even written. It's like squiggles and like it says riff.
It's like, do whatever you want. Like, here you go.
Thanks. Thanks.
Oh,
yeah.
Look, we're not even going to tell you what to do. Just make it up. Have fun.
Yeah. And I'm not a natural riffer either.
Mm.
So I was like, this is so much pressure.
You want me to
But then we did like this riff. It was like we did this riffer exercise where they play like the chords in a like cyclically, if that's a word. And then you just kind of, and then like Ellie would riff and then like I'd have to riff back and she would riff and we just go back and forth and we tape the whole thing and then pick out which ones we liked and then put them together. It was tough. Yeah.
That's really cool.
But it was really rewarding at the end. Yeah.
Oh, That's crazy. All right, we're going to do this, guys. You've heard it first here on the podcast. We're going to somehow get every single Paz riff side by side. It's going to happen.
Yeah, because it's not recorded, so I want to hear it.
Just the 3 seconds, just because that'd just be enough just to tie me over until she goes back. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I 100% feel like there's 17 million questions I haven't asked, which means I'm just going to have to get back on the show at some point. Obviously, if you're okay to do that. But on that note, we'll wrap things up here for this episode. So thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us, Megan. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's good to talk to somebody in a similar time zone as me.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yeah.
So good.
Well, thanks for having me.
Anytime. If you guys don't follow Megan already, all her links are down below. So please click on them, hit that follow button, and go show her some love. That's what we didn't talk about. The Queendom. I knew there was something. What was it like after your announcement to see?
Oh my God, support? Crazy. Crazy. So it's kind of weird because, so I started working again in Hong Kong at like an office job, just like talking to my colleagues, and we had to like put up a photo of ourselves, like from, you know, and so one of them like had like searched through my Instagram to find like a photo of me that they could put as like my like profile picture for like work stuff. And he's like, wait, oh my God, what? Like, what is this? And like, even like meeting new people in Hong Kong, you know, like it's just like such a foreign thing to even think about if you're from outside of like the theater world. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, wait, what? Like, whoa, you did this? So that's kind of crazy. And then just like, yeah, the support is insane. It's amazing, you know, it's so sweet. And I was not really expecting any of that. It's a little sometimes like intimidating because you're just like, oh gosh, like, you know, now I think more about what I'm posting on my story. And, you know, I never used close friends before because I had like 500 followers. So who cares? But also just because I know like the fan base is quite young.
Yeah.
And I want to be a good example. Not that like, you know, I have like crazy people following me, but you know, just like, I want to be a good example. I don't want to like throw anybody down the wrong road or, yeah. So I don't know. It's been crazy. I didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't really pay too much attention to like followers or like having a lot of likes on my photos or anything.
Yeah.
But some days I would just get like a flood of Instagram notifications. Like, oh, what's going on? Oh, I posted a photo and, you know, now people are responding to it. That's insane. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And like, it's kind of, I would have really loved to have been able to post like a Mega 6 and be able to share like more of what, you know, ship life is like and how the show is going. Just because it's such a wonderful experience. And like, I think I would have really loved to have been able to kind of connect with, not saying I'm anybody's mentor or like, you know, goals or whatever, yeah. But, you know, like I would have loved to have watched my idols and like see what they do on a daily basis and hear about their jobs, like from a firsthand perspective.
100%. And yeah, totally get that.
Yeah. So, you know, and then also just like, I think I always tell people this and I always mention it, you know, that I didn't get a job for so long and that it's not about like, it doesn't matter how long you're trying, as long as you just like keep trying. And you know, like it's been a consistent, what, 26 years of going to class and, you know, trying to learn new things and keep on top of my stuff and, you know, eating right and staying positive. Cause there are points where, you know, you're just like, it's been so many no's that you're like, okay, is this even worth it at this point? Yeah. But honestly, like being in a show again, I can say that it's totally worth it. It's totally worth it. It's amazing. There's nothing like it. So
got to keep pushing.
Yeah, keep trying, keep auditioning, keep pushing, keep going to class. For anybody who's listening, just remember that you're doing it because you love it. You know, like, yeah, it's great that you could make a career out of it, but if you had to pick up a different career, like, it doesn't mean that I don't love dance and I don't love singing and I don't want to do those things. Yeah. So there are always like times to do it, and like, it doesn't mean that you have to be making money from it.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
It's kind of like what I've been trying to like remember over the past like few months of, you know, not working again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my friends just bought me like 5 classes to ballet. So, you know, I'm like kind of set for a second.
Yay. Yeah. All right. To fully wrap things up.
It's cheesy.
What is the biggest thing you miss about 6?
Biggest thing I miss about 6. I feel like it's lame if I say everything or if I say like the girls. I kind of miss like the pre.
The 2 answers I get every time. So that's completely fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that I miss about 6. I miss like, you know, going to the pools on Saturday and Sunday with the girls like after rehearsal. Or I even miss like going to the gym with them, you know, after rehearsal. We all worked like crazy hard. So yeah, going to like the gym or going to like rehearsal. I don't know, just like the bands, like, you know, pre-show, like dressing room time when we bring in like a bag of chips and we're playing, I don't know, Cardi B, like that's what Lucy and Bex love. So we listen to that. You know, or like Rihanna, like this is like music that I don't really listen to. Like I listen to a lot of folk music. So it's like, it's funny to like listen to what they like to listen to, but it's great amp up music. And you know, like those times, I think I miss those. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. All right, Queens.
Well, the whole thing.
Everything. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode, Queens. Thank you for coming in and hanging out with us. And we will be back next week with a brand new episode of the Queendom Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.